Well, Happy New Year, everybody. And the Lord dropped this message in my heart to share with you. And if I only had one message to share with Spirit-filled Christian people, or anybody really for that matter, saved or unsaved, because these are spiritual laws and they work whether people know Jesus or not, it would be this one. It's my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, preached a sermon that became famous all over the world called The Fourth Man, out of the book of Daniel. And we're going to go there right now. But I heard him say this. He said it to me. He looked me right straight in the eye and he said, "Kenneth, whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose." Yes. Then I heard it, Gloria and I both, back in the very early days of this ministry. The Lord said, "I am coming so soon that I want this non-compromised word of faith preached on every available voice." Mm. Well, back there then, the only available voice was radio and television and books. Yeah. That was it. So we started out on the radio. And with that exciting word in our hearts concerning radio, and I had learned that from Oral Roberts. Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. So what, that was the early command. What is non-compromised word of faith or the word of God mean? What does the word, our covenant with God, say? All things that pertain to life and godliness in the promises of God, particularly in the letters that Peter wrote. I mean, you know, this man was there. He was right on top of these great, exceeding great and precious promises that by these you partake of the divine nature of God. Well, you don't compromise those promises. You don't compromise those words. And when his word said, "By his stripes you were healed," then you're not the sick trying to get healed, you're the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you. Yeah. So, I mean, you stand on that word. 2,000 years ago, I was healed, and by grace, I take authority over it, over the sickness, and I take it. I take my healing right now. I have it. I take it. Amen. I take it now. Amen. And by that, you can live in divine health, but you can't compromise the word. Amen. And live in divine health.
Amen.
You can't do that. So, when it says, "By his stripes ye were healed," then I'm healed.
Amen.
So now then, I want to read this from Daniel, the third chapter, but I'm going to read it from the Classic Amplified. So listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar the king caused to be made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits or 90 feet. This thing is 90 feet tall, made out of gold. Now, where did he get all that gold? Now, I'd like to know that myself, to make something 90 feet tall, whose weight was height 90 feet and its breadth 6 cubits or 9 feet. He set it on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the satraps, the deputies, the governors, the judges, the chief stargazers, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the lawyers, and all the chief officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of this image which King Nebuchadnezzar had caused to be set up. Then the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the judges the chief stargazers and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and the lawyers and all the chief officials of the provinces were gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they that stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald cried out, "You are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, when you hear the sound of horn, pipe, lyre, triangle." Now, the lyre it's an instrument, a stringed instrument. It's triangular in shape. And you see those, particularly Russians. They're prominent among the Russian people today. And whoever does not, verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship shall that very hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, dulcimer, and bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. Therefore, at that time, certain men of Chaldean descent came near and brought malicious accusations against the Jews. Well, what else is new? It's still happening today. Yes. Why? Because it's still the same God and it's still the same devil.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Mm. Now, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree," and so forth and so on, and worship. "Whoever does not, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed and set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods." Now, notice that. You have set them over us. And we don't like it because they're Jews.
Right.
Jealousy.
Yes.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, so he did not control himself. Rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men were brought before the king. Then Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I've set up?" Now, if you are ready, then when you hear that, then what's going to happen? You're going to be cast at once into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that can deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, it's not necessary for us to answer you on this point." In other words, you already know the answer to this. "If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and his facial expression was changed to antagonism against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter. And he commanded the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these 3 men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, and undergarments, their turbans, and outer clothing, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame and sparks from the fire kindled those men who had handled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men fell down bound into the burning fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar the king saw and was astounded, and he jumped up. Now, that fire was so hot that it killed the men that threw him in there.
Yes. Yes.
Boy, that's hot.
Yes. You'd jump up too.
Now, it indicates that he heated that thing up hotter than it was supposed to be heated. So it at that heat, it would have destroyed the furnace. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the fire, burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king saw and was astounded, and he jumped up and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered, "True, O king." He answered, "Behold, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the deputies, and the governors, and the king's counselors gathered around together and saw these men, that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was their hair, the hair of their head singed, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition, nor had even the smell of smoke clung to them.
Praise God.
Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who believed in, trusted in, and relied on him. And they set aside the king's command and yielded their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. That therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, language that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses be made a dunghill, for there's no other God who can deliver this way." Now listen, listen. This happened, and it happened just like that. These men refused to compromise. They would not do it. They would not compromise. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It was the non-compromised three. They were already in a high place, which made those other guys jealous. Now, what do you think they thought?
I expect whatever it was that was very quiet.
Yeah, Now, let's go to the life of Joseph. He was, the word says that the blessing of the Lord was upon him. We know, we go back, and for lack of a better way to explain it, you go widescreen. The first words any human ear heard was the blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Then we know what Adam did with it. And then you watch all the prophets down over the years. But now here's Joseph. And the blessing is working for him all the time, because he would not compromise. Amen. He would not compromise the dream he had.
Yeah.
Ever. He wouldn't let it go. And it made his brothers mad.
Yeah.
Because he's the pet. And then here they again, they were jealous of him. And so they said, "Let's kill him." Mm-hmm. One of them said, "No, that isn't very smart. We'll sell him. Let's kill an animal and dip his coat in blood. Is that not a type?"
Yeah.
"And we will show that to his, to our father." And so, and they threw him in the, in this hole. And they said, "Well, no, let's get him out and sell him And now, the blessing of the Lord was on him.
Yes.
And there was this caravan going to Egypt. Yes. Just happened by.
Yeah.
Just happened by.
Yeah.
And so then he goes into Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was a military man. But the blessing of the Lord was on Joseph to the point that he turned everything over to him and didn't know anymore even what he was worth. He became so wealthy because the blessing was on Joseph. Mm-hmm. He refused to compromise his God. He said so when Potiphar's wife, another man. And he still wouldn't compromise. And of course she lied on him and he's thrown into prison. And you know the rest of the story. And he's so blessed, he became head of the prison.
Right.
Well, he didn't know how to run a ranch and farm and make it well. The blessing taught him.
Amen.
He didn't know how to run a prison. The blessing taught him.
Yes, praise God.
So he had the run of the prison. I mean, come on, man. And then, and you know the rest of the story, and then and the dreams that he had, and the dreams came to. And he said, well, remember me now when you get back to, you know, to the Pharaoh. Forgot him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was only 28 years old.
Oh.
Yeehaw. When he turned 30, oh, I forgot. King, go get that down, go get, you know, what's his name down there? And go get Joseph, and he'll answer your dream. So he answered his dream. And Pharaoh says, son. And his sorcerers and all couldn't get him. But he not only told him what he dreamed, but then he interpreted the dream.
Yeah.
It's one thing to interpret a dream, but it's another to tell you what you dreamed.
Yes.
And he said, no man like this in the whole kingdom.
Yeah.
He became prime minister of Egypt. I always wondered what Potiphar thought then.
Yes.
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 I hope he's forgotten what I did to him. But because Potiphar was a military man and now was under Joseph's command.
Yes, he was.
Why? He said to her, can I do this thing before my God? No. I can't compromise my God for a few minutes in the rack with you. I'm not going to do it, even if I go to prison for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And then he wound up, because he wouldn't compromise, had the run of the prison. Then he became prime minister of Egypt. And out of that came Moses. Because they would not compromise. It is the message of the Bible. We don't compromise the promises. We don't compromise our faith. We don't compromise one another. And to be on the job and compromise, I mean, working for somebody, working for a ministry or whatever or whomever, and something happens on the job, you don't compromise what you know.
Yeah.
You don't accuse somebody, well, they lied on me. Well, now, wait a minute. Did they?
What is the, is that scripture that says what you compromise to keep, you'll lose?
Well, that, no, that's what Oral said to us, though, over and over and over. And yeah, the scripture does say that.
What you compromise to keep, you'll lose.
You will eventually lose. And it may be that the job you cherish so much, you're about to lose it because you accused somebody else and didn't wait and say, well, maybe we all just need to talk about this. Well, they lied on me and they lied on me and they didn't. Don't compromise. Anything this year, don't compromise it. No. We've got a good year coming up here. Amen. It's a power year. Hallelujah. And we don't want to come to the end of this next year and say, I wish I had done a better job.
Right.
And we're out of time. Glory to God. Give the Lord praise and honor His name. Jeremy, Happy New Year, son. Help us here.
Thank you, Papa. You know, increase and promotion come when you don't compromise the Word of God. And we learned today, when you don't compromise God's Word, you're headed for success. You make the decision to stay on the blessing side of life. And when Casey and partner Reginald Watts chose God and did things his way, it changed his life and his destiny forever.
My name is Reginald Watts. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I had a pretty much leave it to Beaver type of upbringing. So I have no excuses for what I'm about to tell you now. During my last semester as a junior at Texas Southern University, I got hooked on crack cocaine. It wasn't crack at the time, it was freebasing. And I got hooked on drugs. Trying to hide that from family brought on other problems. You tell so many lies and you borrow money from so many people and never pay them back. You run out of friends, your circle gets smaller and smaller. And that's what happened to me. And so I started stealing against the family rules. My first conviction on robbery, they dropped it to an assault charge and gave me credit for time served. I left that year already thinking about how I was going to change. Watch this, not into a righteous person, but how I was going to stop using and start selling drugs. Well, that lasted maybe a week and I was back to using drugs again and back to robbing. So my next conviction was 2 counts of armed robbery and 1 count of attempted armed robbery. And so they took me to trial. Get this, they gave me 25 years, vacated the 25 years, and gave me life on the Habitual Offender Act, which is legal. And so with the 25 years vacated, they gave me life, L-I-F-E, not 99 to life, not 100 to life, not 50 to life, L-I-F-E. No probation, no parole, no suspension of sentence. So in essence, I was to die in Louisiana State Penitentiary. Every cell had a shelf with a Bible on it, except for the guys that threw their Bibles out. I didn't throw it out, but I didn't read it. I loved to read. That was the only book they left, purposely. I started reading. It opened up to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Though you desire to do what's right, this is what got me. How to perform that which is right, you know not how. So I read it again. So now I understand the epiphany. So I do want to do what's right. I always wanted to please my parents. I always wanted to do what was right. And I keep getting back to drugs and stealing and all the stuff that come with it, robbing. And that's when I broke down. And I told God He was right. And I was wrong. And I needed His help. We were in the main prison chapel. It holds over 700 people. They said Kenny Copeland was coming. Well, I'm up moderating that night for the service. And I looked, and it was Kenny Copeland coming in our chapel in Louisiana State Penitentiary. And Kenny Copeland, and he preached that night. I came out of prison after almost 25 years with the sheriff holding one door, the warden of the facility holding the other door, Mike Barber, and his wife standing in front of the door with one of my spiritual mentors named Tapper Sermon. It was amazing. I'm telling you, the power of God, not just to get me out of prison, but to already have my purpose lined up the way that He knew I would accept it. And just to show you the full circle, here I am now at Kenny Copeland's Southwest Convention. we are directly in debt to Kenny Copeland Ministry. And Mike Barber always said this. He said, my name is on those study papers we giving y'all. He said, but it's Kenny Copeland Ministry that allows me to come here. Those that are in the ministry with Kenny Copeland Ministry, those of you that donate, those of you that give of your time and your finances, it's being used greatly. And so don't ever think that you're not part of it because your name is not there or we don't call your name. If you gave 50 cent to KC Ministry, you have done something big, because it takes money to do the ministry, especially when you go in prison, because we can't give anything back. Prisoners are always receiving. So we're thankful for KC and his ministries and those that have partnered with KC. We thank God for you, not only as pastors, but as chaplains as well.
Now, every Friday is offering day on the broadcast, and I want to read to you again today from Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. It says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Let me encourage you to sow back into the word that you've heard this week. You can see here from Scripture that is a responsibility that the Lord has given us, to respond to the word that we've heard. Now, many of you are partners with this ministry, and you've been doing that for a long time. We've got partners watching who have partnered with us for decades. Many of you have partnered with us over the last several years, or whether you've been a part of this family for a long time or you just started here recently, we want you to know how thankful we are for you. And what you do in this ministry causes thanksgiving to abound towards God. We want you to know how much Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love you and appreciate you. And what your giving is doing is helping people all over the world hear the good news about Jesus. People from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle, they're hearing. And so much of that is because partners are coming alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in this ministry saying, hey, we want to help you preach this uncompromised word of faith to people all over the world. And that's what's been happening for more than 50 years. And this word's been preached, and now generations of families have heard the life-changing power of God. And we know this, that lives have been touched. We know that lives have been changed forever. And as you sow today into KCM, you need to know that what you're doing is connecting with a ministry that is called to preach faith, teach faith, called to tell others how to live and walk and talk and fight by faith. And they've specialized in this for more than 50 years. That's what you're connecting with. Father, we thank you so much today for the giving of the people. We receive it. We ask you to see it and receive it. And we call them blessed in Jesus' name. Hey, before we go, let me remind you, tonight starts the Victory First meeting with Brother Copeland. Begins tonight, runs through January 3rd, and we invite you to join us at Eagle Mountain International Church on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries as we start the new year in victory like never before. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.